It's time to talk about Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. And now, here's Ira.
My guest today is a true powerhouse performer whose voice and presence have electrified Broadway stages and concert halls around the world. Cindy Winters is the very definition of versatility. She's an artist who moves effortlessly between musical theater, jazz, and concert performance. Now, you know her from iconic Broadway roles, including Nala in Disney's The Lion King. It's a role she's brought to life multiple times, as well as standout performances in Motown the Musical, Pippin, and Hamilton, where she was portraying all three Schuyler sisters. Work, work. Now, Cindy is bringing her talent to Las Vegas with a special performance at Myron's at the Smith Center Saturday, January 10th at 7 p.m. And audiences can expect a one-woman variety show that dances between Broadway and jazz as she reimagines timeless classics from the Great American Songbook, including Stormy Weather, Just One of Those Things, and If You Believe from the iconic musical The Wiz, all while paying tribute to the legendary Lena Horne. For tickets, visit thesmithcenter.com. And for everything about Cindy Winters, go to Cindy Winters. That's S-Y-N-D-E-E, CindyWinters.com. And you can follow her on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And Cindy, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, of course, that intro was so long, we're out of time. So thanks for coming on. And we'll be back.
It's been great. Good night.
Yeah, good. Exactly. I have to ask you, because you have such an unusual background. You grew up in the Queens, and you had an interesting mix of parents, and you got into all kinds of music and stuff. Tell us a little bit about your background for our listeners and viewers who may not be aware of Cindy Winters.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a great, I feel like it's such a unique story that I'm first generation American. My parents are from Jamaica. I'm Chinese Jamaican. And I was born in Queens. I grew up on Long Island and then spent a good portion of my formative years in Miami, Florida. And growing up, I got into jazz and I got into different genres of music through reggae music. My uncles had a recording, a record label in Jamaica, and they managed reggae artists. And when I was about 16, my father reconnected with Stephen Marley and the Marley brothers, sons of Bob Marley, and introduced me to Stephen Marley and said, "Hey, my daughter's a singer and she'd really like to do this as a profession. Is there any sort of way you could hear her sing and kind of point her in the right direction?" And Stephen said, "Sure, absolutely." And he heard me sing. And the first thing that he said was, "Your voice reminds me of Sarah Vaughan." And I thought, "Who is Sarah Vaughan? I'd never heard of Sarah Vaughan before." And so I went to the record shop and I bought all these CDs. And I bought the very first CD was like a Ken Burns version, Ken Burns edition of The Best of Sarah Vaughan. And I then bought Ella Fitzgerald and Billie Holiday, and sort of led me down that trajectory. And my musical theater background comes from doing it in school. My best friend in high school, her mom owned a dance studio in Miami at Scarlet Center Stage. And she said to me, "Cindy, you know, Brianna tells me that you're a singer, and, you know, singers can dance at my studio for free." And she knew that I didn't have the money to pay for classes. And so I trained at that studio for free, or on scholarship, as I say. And I remember starting my career there. I went into commercial dance shortly after that and danced for the New York Knicks dance team, the Knick City Dancers. And from there, got an agent from who they knew that I could sing. And so they recommended me for an agency, and the agent sent me on an audition to The Lion King. And The Lion King, I was been obsessed with The Lion King since I was a kid. I remember buying a Lion King sing-along tape with my allowance money and making my family watch me sing "I Just Can't Wait to Be King" over and over and over again. So to actually be in the show and let alone play Nala is an incredible dream come true.
Well, you missed the timing was off slightly, but in a way it's interesting. Lion King was just at the Smith Center a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, I performed with that company throughout my journey.
Right. Yeah, now, you mentioned the great Sarah Vaughan and other wonderful singers. How did you focus on Lena Horne? Because you have a 10-track tribute called Stormy Weather. It's called Cindy Winters Sings Lena Horne. And the reason I started saying Stormy Weather, I'll tell you that in a second. You'll understand why I started to say Stormy Weather. But you have a 10-track tribute. Cindy Winters sings Lena Horne. So when did you first become aware of Lena Horne and then obviously incorporated that into a whole performance, which we'll see some of it at Myron's at the Smith Center?
You know, I'm a millennial, so I first learned about Lena Horne watching The Wiz when she played Glinda in the classic film The Wiz. And then I saw her again in different pop-ups on The Cosby Show or on the TV show A Different World. And so she had always been this classic legendary person from the beginning, you know, from my upbringing. And then when I was in college, I remember like a Broadway producer came to visit us and looked at me and said, "You look like a young Lena Horne." And I thought, that's so cute. She's legendary. Thank you. And so I didn't think another thing about it. I mean, I knew her just from what I knew her from.
Did you make another trip to the record shop again? And
but at that time, yeah, at the time, my school had a library. We could get stuff for free. So
oh, that's even better.
Library okay. And got CDs and things for free. So after coming back from The Lion King, I was doing concerts. And a friend of mine named Chester Gregory, an incredible Broadway artist, he has a show about Jackie Wilson. And I, in just a funny, competitive, joking way, said, "Oh, Chester, I could do whatever you could do. I can do a show just like yours. I can tell a story." And he's like, "Well, whose story do you think you could tell?" And I gave it a quick think, and then I said, maybe Diana Ross. And he's like, "Oh, Diana Ross, that's a good story." But Motown the Musical had already been already on Broadway, which, funny enough, I end up being in that show on Broadway. And he's like, "Well," and I was like, "Okay, you're sounding like it's a no." So I said, "Maybe Dorothy Dandridge." And he says, "Ooh, Dorothy, that's a good story, but there's something else. There's something else." And I said, "Ah, well, somebody said that I looked like Lena Horne." And he said, "Ooh, I think you should tell Lena Horne's story." And at the time, I didn't know of any other productions or anything going on. And I started my research, and then I fell in love with Lena Horne. I read her biography, her autobiography. I watched interviews and listened to all the records that she had done, and just realized how similar our personal lives were, and with her upbringing and mine, and then also her sort of spirit. And I wanted to be able to capture more so her spirit than necessarily her voice or her glamour. It was really more so about the person she was on the inside that made this music. And so telling her story was really important to me in that way.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. The reason I mentioned earlier to you Stormy Weather, James Gavin wrote a book called Stormy Weather, The Life of Lena Horne, and he's been on my show. In fact, it's still on. If you go to my website, Talk About Las Vegas, and look up James Gavin, you'll find that interview. He covered a lot of material. You probably have read the book, I would think, given your research in terms of.
I have.
Yes. So when you look at it, at Lena Horne, and you look at some of the other, Sarah Vaughan you mentioned and others, you're able to, you said something very interesting. You're really presenting the spirit, not necessarily the exact vocal intonations. And that's important because you're paying tribute to Lena Horne with the spirit of Lena Horne and her internal spirit, which is very important from a human standpoint. So I think you've got something going there. And I want to talk to you more about your show at the Smith Center, January 10th, in a few minutes. But just to stay on this subject for a second. You've had so many Broadway and concert experiences. The Lena Horne aspect never leaves you, does it?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I think my upbringing never leaves me. And since starting this journey with Ms. Horne, she has clung on to me. And every time I try to say, okay, I think we're good, right? I get a little intimidated or I kind of get scared. She just kind of, I feel like her spirit just goes, hey, 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 you got more things to say.
Right.
You got more things to talk about, especially in your work and in even sharing her story and her legacy and being a woman and an activist and an advocate. She's constantly with me. In fact, I've been with the same manager for 9 years. And when we first met, I was in Hamilton. And she said, you should submit yourself for the Sarah Vaughan Vocal Jazz competition. And I laughed.
Really?
I said, absolutely not. Mind you, I'm in Hamilton. Like, I'm on Broadway. I'm legit, you know.
I thought it was because you may have had your doubts, but no, it was because you were busy. You're performing on a hit show.
I was afraid.
Oh, you were afraid. Okay.
Yeah. The Sarah Vaughan Vocal Competition is like one night, you know, and it's right across the river in you know, New Jersey.
Well, so it's close by. You could take a night off and go on over.
It's so close. It was, but my fear might as well have been in South Africa. Like, I was so afraid. I was like, this is jazz. People do this. This is not what I do. And I had already been with doing this project for about a year or so. And she said, you should do it. So I think 9 years went by and I would always say, I'm too busy or I can't, or I'm in China. And she said, all right, make the time now. And so last year I submitted and I competed and I got into the top five finalists and I ended up placing first runner up for the Sarah Vaughan International Vocal Jazz Competition. And I was totally shocked and blown away. And the best part about that was the grand prize winner that year is a friend of mine, April May Webb. So I felt like I celebrated her more than me. I was so excited.
Well, are you surprised at your success in so many areas? As I mentioned in my introduction, you've been Broadway, recording, concerts, etc., and your focus on jazz as well, and then your tribute to Lena Horne. You're all over the map, but in a positive way, not in a negative way. You just seem to be able to function in all these different spheres. Was that challenging initially, or is it just part of your nature, or you had your innate talent, you developed it over time, you got the free albums from the school?
I think the free dance lessons,
singing lessons too from the dance place. So, yeah.
So I think it's sort of what people see in you, and you have to sort of believe a bit of that and believe enough in yourself. It's like, okay, you see something in me. And even though I don't have the tools or the understanding just yet, I listen to my elders in that way, or I do listen to my mentors. And when they see something and I say, okay, well, let me see if I can explore that a bit. And I use my own, I put it through my own processor, mm-hmm, and see how it fits for me. And I do make my own choices, but I definitely listen. And I think that's a big part of why I listen to what I'm good at and listen to what I'm not good at, you know?
Your strengths and your weaknesses. Do you find that some of your fellow artists, you don't have to mention anybody in particular, do you find that your fellow artists, especially in your age range that you talked about from what generation you're from, do they listen as well as you do to advice or suggestions and then process it through their own processing machine?
I don't know. I feel like I am surrounded by a great deal of talented, incredibly talented artists who I've reached really great levels of success. And one thing that we do have in common is that we do have mentors and we do have people who have championed for us and opened doors for us and expected for us to show up properly.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
That's a way to go. You know, I'm still young in the game, but I'm old enough with enough experience to know how to stay in the game or stay in the room or continue. And that has a lot to do with showing up and doing your best and broadening the perspective of people who are maybe in the room who have a different view. And if you can influence and inspire the room you're in, you're in a good place.
Well, you talked about mentors and your folks. I'm sure they're very proud of you, and especially given all the challenges that you must have had moving here and moving there and going here and going there and performing there, et cetera. So it was a long haul, but, and you're relatively young, which is also very handy. So they must be very delighted that you've succeeded and prospered in the entertainment world.
You know, they follow me. They definitely do. And I'm not talking about on Instagram. They get on flights.
They actually
they're
physically
the
show
shows.
Up. That's
yeah,
great.
They're there
That's
at the
great.
Shows. They're at the merch table. They're selling vinyl and scarves and all kinds of things. They're selling all of my merchandise. They're
I
taking
love it.
Video and testimonials. They're a part of Team Cindy Winters for sure.
Wow, that is great. That's great to hear. Because sometimes it's so, you know, let's face it, there are those of us who... It's a lot easier with technology to do Zoom or just stay in touch in other ways through Facebook, et cetera. But they actually show up because they're there.
Yeah.
With
yeah,
you
I'm,
and doing
I'm
it.
Actually going to be singing the national anthem at the Knicks game at Madison Square Garden on, I think, January 3rd, which is in a couple of days. And my mom's like, so what time the game's at 7:30? I'm like, is it? I don't even know what time the game is. She's like, I'll be there for a sound check. Now, not a manager, not a momager, nothing like that. She just
right.
knows where she needs to be
yeah,
in order
no,
to get the
exactly.
good seats.
Yeah, no, that's excellent. Well, was she surprised, and maybe your dad too was surprised when you decided to focus a lot of your energy, time, and talent on Lena Horne particularly? Were they, because of the generation they were they aware of Lena Horne before you
absolutely.
Were aware?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I think my parents have been on the journey with me since my inception. So they've seen me go through all different phases of myself and this is the longest I've been with Lena Horne. It's been quite a few years. And my favorite thing about this project is that I can never age out of it because she lived such a full, long life.
She did.
There's something to learn along the way as I grow as an artist and as a person. But my parents have been with me through all different iterations of Cindy, whether it was pop Cindy, which still exists. I still have my music and I still record my pop music and R&B music and I still release it and do concerts under myself and also under a duo project called Butterfly Black that I have with another Grammy winning jazz artist, Ben Williams. And then they are also with me with Lena Horne. And I think my greatest moment was this year because I was welcomed into the jazz community so beautifully. I performed at Jazz at LACMA, which is an incredible jazz series in Los Angeles with it's free to the community and I've been a few times and I performed once before as a guest artist, but this was the first time that I was be able to be my own featured artist and not a character like I would be in a Broadway show. It was as myself. And 4,000 patrons showed up and it was an incredible show. And it was this same show that I'm bringing to Myron's. So it's you're gonna see a Broadway style jazz concert. And
yeah, let's talk about the show that you're bringing to
Myron's.
Yeah,
Myron. Of course.
Yeah, the show at Myron's, it's going to be I like the way you phrased it. It says it's a Broadway style of jazz performance. So how does that work? And do you have like a 35-piece band or is it a trio or is it how do we work in all this?
Well, it's a quartet. We have Max Hamer on piano and keys and Luca Alemán on bass and John Davis on drums and Matt Schumer on saxophone. And we have a cast of 9 incredible guest artists that come to the stage and perform their tribute to Miss Horne. All of those beautiful guest artists are played by an incredible, talented 2024 Sarah Vaughan Vocal Jazz Competition first runner-up, Cindy Winters.
Yes, that would be you.
That would be me.
Yeah. I was doing my calculations while you were saying that about the quartet and the nine people and how are they going to fit everybody on stage? Because I know they can't get 35 musicians on stage. I was kidding about that, but it's a great intimate venue. I don't know if you've ever been there yet, but it's wonderful and the sound is great too. So, but they're all played by you. Okay. We get that, Cindy. Okay.
Yes. You'll expect different facets. The name of the show is Cindy Winter Sings Lena Horne, The Makings of a Lady. And so these guest characters, the guest performers that come to the stage all embody the aspects and the characteristics of a lady. And Lena Horne exhibited all of those characters and aspects in one part of her life or another. She was the object of pure perfection, and she was a rebel in her advocacy and activism days. And she was this beautiful starlet at one point, and you'll meet the star and you'll meet the pure perfection and you'll meet the rebel and you'll meet the legend and you'll meet the fresh face as well. And sort of, I can definitely relate to all of those women who come to the stage and share their stories. So. It's a fun little ditty.
It's fun, but it's gotta be a lot of work. I was just thinking the costume changes and attitude changes and age changes and, you know, but you've got it down. So that works. Now, more important than any of that, is your mother going to be there?
She will not. She will not.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah, we'll come anyway.
I don't know yet. I'm yet to be surprised. Sometimes they just pop out. So
yeah, I get you.
They're like, we're on our way. We're getting on the flight now.
Do you find that when you perform the trivia, and as I mentioned in my opening, you're also not just performing Lena Horne material, but you're also performing other Great American Songbook classics as well. So it's a complete show. And have you noticed that when you're performing this show, either at LACMO or around the country, and now coming up January 10th at Smith Center at Myron's, do you have people come up to you after the show? And I don't want to say reminisce about Lena Horne particularly, but maybe people that knew her and will give you some more insight in terms of Lena Horne. Do you get that?
Yes, I have. So I'll give you two stories. I recently performed the show in Connecticut. In Cheshire, Connecticut. And after the show, a woman comes up to me and there's a part of my show where I talk about Lena's time in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And a woman comes up to me and she says, I guess for full context, Lena Horne is slated to star as Julie in the movie Showboat, but she sort of gets she definitely gets kind of cut from that. And then they offer the role to one of her best friends, Ava Gardner. And so I talk about that in my show. And a woman after the show comes up to me and she says, they should have given that part to you.
Interesting.
They shouldn't have given it to Ava Gardner. You deserve that part. And I just said, thank you, ma'am. I feel the same feeling you feel right now. She was amazing. Convinced. So I love being able to share these nostalgic moments with the generation before mine, who really followed Lena Horne and loved her. And then also for the young generation, for the people just coming up and have never heard of her. And they're like, oh, she was fly. She did this and she did that. And she was a strong person, to know in American history.
Were there people that you met that along the way that actually knew her, if not worked with her?
So I've met quite a few people. I've met her hairdresser. I've met, but when I was at LACMA this summer, mm-hmm. I met a very special person. The daughter of Lena Horne's manager, Sherman Sneed. Sherry G. Sneed is an avid jazzet LACMA patron. And so she comes every Friday, and I was doing my show and she came up to me and she said, I have not heard of you. Okay. I know a lot about what goes on with any Lena Horne tribute or concert or anything going on. I've known Lena Horne since I was a child. And I obviously knew who her father was. Mm-hmm. And we were so surprised when we shared a mutual friend, Marva Hicks, who was in Lena, the Lady and Her Music on Broadway. And Marva and I were in the same dressing room at Motown the Musical. So she was a castmate of mine, and she was such a champion for me. And Marva was the best friend of Sherry. And so we totally hit it off, and she saw the show. And after the show, she said, I've seen a lot of shows, but it felt like Miss Horn was right there on your shoulder. And so I felt that was a moment of definite validation and encouragement to keep going. Because, you know, sometimes I just want to stop.
Oh, sure. Everybody at some point wants to stop doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
Did you react emotionally when she said that?
Oh, there was a full cry. But I'm glad that she told me after.
Yes.
She saw the show. So
absolutely.
My throat was, I was finished singing. Because once I have a lump in my throat, I can't sing.
No, it's not only validation. It's just, I could see how it would hit you emotionally because you clearly hit the nerve with her. And it worked out really well. Before I let you go, we have a couple of minutes left. But what do you want people to take away from the show? Again, January 10th. At Myron's at the Smith Center at 7 p.m.
I want people to remember a few things. The legacy of Miss Horn, her energy, her passion, her ferocity that we can all take for ourselves to put into our own lives. She has the song, If You Believe, which, you know, I always call it Believe in Yourself, because that's the theme. And if you can have that fire that she uses to sing that song to you and to deliver that message to you, to believe in yourself as I believe in you, that's the message that I've taken with me my entire life and particularly career. And then now I get to sing this song, and this song takes me all over the world to sing and share. I find it so uplifting. And then it'd be great for the audience and the guests to come to get to know me as an artist. It's definitely not your typical jazz concert, and I am an artist who performs jazz. And so please come with an open mind and an open heart and have a good time with me.
I think everybody will. I think it would be a great night. It's not just Lena. It's Broadway. It's jazz. It's a bunch of everything put together with 152 people on stage, which is incredible.
Yes. full choral ensemble.
Very good. That's
and
great.
Pyrotechnics.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I should ask you, we have 1 minute left. How did you decide on Cindy, S-Y-N-D-E-E, as opposed to C-I-N-D-Y or C-I-N-D-I-E? How did that come about?
Well, it's a really interesting story. I wanted to be I wanted to be different, right? Because I'm just young and I'm starting my career. Sure. I want to be different. And I wanted the casting directors to be able to know who was coming in, you know, as if they couldn't read my name. I was like, I just want them to read Cindy, like I'm Cher. And so I flipped the name and flipped the spelling of my name, and I thought that will be life changing. That's a star's name. And then Winters is I've played Milady de Winter in the Three Musketeers in a play in college, and I thought that she was such a very complicated and very strong character, and so I adopted her name and turned myself into Cindy Winters.
I like it. Well, that's a great way to leave it. My guest has been Cindy Winters. She's performing in Myron's at the Smith Center Saturday, January 10th at 7 p.m. For tickets, go to thesmithcenter.com. For everything about Cindy, go to cindywinters.com. Remember, it's S-Y-N-D-E-E, cindywinters.com. Be sure to follow her on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And Cindy, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. This has been a blast.
It has. See you next time.
You've been listening to Talk About Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. Anything you want us to be.